Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be touching a little bit of Christmas magic today with children's stories. Being a children's author myself, I know that one of the greatest joys you can have is to share your love of storytelling with children. And my guest, Richard Hughes, today, he and his wife have come out with a wonderful book called Stanley the Christmas Tree. Richard, welcome to the show.
Well, glad, very happy to be here.
Your storytelling with Stanley the Christmas Tree. Your art is very interesting, but you have a talking book audio that goes with it, and I know we're playing music underneath as we're speaking of Stanley the Christmas Tree theme. How did you decide, what caused you to decide that you were going to get involved with children's books, children's stories, and how did Stanley come about?
Stanley's story was in my mind from the time I was a child. In 1973, my daughter was 10 months old, and I heard that Clement Moore had written Night Before Christmas for his daughter. And so I decided I wanted to do something for my daughter, Terry. So I dug back into my thoughts from my childhood, thinking of my father always having the most perfect Christmas tree, and yet buying the scraggliest tree on the lot, and then constructing it by putting branches in, having a perfect tree every year, and everyone would ooh and awe, and then living across the street from a grade school, an elementary school, and at Christmas break seeing Christmas trees taken out and put in the trash can and burned by the janitors. And those two things, when I wrote the story of Stanley, who wanted to be the very best tree he could be and have a family, he grew his very best. He was teased by the other trees, finally taken to the sale lot, but he wasn't the first tree chosen. I like to think that maybe some of the people who passed him up were someone like my father, who always felt sorry for the scraggly tree. So anyway, he was eventually sold to a gentleman, taken to a very nice house, lavishly decorated, knew that he was going to have the perfect Christmas, and then on Christmas Eve finds that their grandchild is sick. All of his decorations are taken off, and he's cast out with the trash cans, all of my experience as a child, watching the trees there. And the trash cans tease him, but he still feels proud because he knew that he did the best he could do. He was rescued and finally wound up with his family. There are little twists along the way, but you have to buy the book to find out the twists.
So this really was based on a lot of things that you observed when you were growing up, the various conditions that you yourself found yourself in.
Well, it was, and I think that as we go through life, if you watch what goes on around you and do little writing things, I've always done writing things since I was a child at 6 or 7 years old. And so I wrote down things and practiced writing. Did a lot of reading. I read very early. I read War and Peace and Gone with the Wind when I was actually 8 years old. My mother explained what the books were about as I would ask questions about what I read. And so reading and writing things and observing things, I think that's what's necessary for people if they want to write and to be able to express themselves in the written word.
Now, when you did this book, did you ever imagine that you were going to be putting together music and a certain art style by Anita Saunders? How did you meet Anita, who is the artist that illustrated your book?
Well, my wife is a children's author, and she has about 17 books in the queue ready to go out. And we were working with some publishers, and the subject of Stanley came up, and it was asked to be seen by several publishers. They all oohed and awed, it's the next Rudolph, it's the next Frosty the Snowman. And they wanted to give us a proposal. But usually you submit something and it's rejected. That we had people actually clamoring to get a hold of this story. And when we presented what we had done, because I had put the entire project together,
mm-hmm.
and Anita Saunders was one of the illustrators that my wife is using on her books. She lives in England. She took a listen to the music. We actually what sparked the entire thing. In 2006, a friend of mine, Maynard Williams from Fresno, California, who is a songwriter, an antique car buff, an independent television producer, sent me some songs that he was going to do a Christmas album. We listened to the music. My wife said, Stanley. Stanley came out of the drawer. We read the story along with the music, and it fit. So we sent that off to Anita. She listened to the audio, or listened to the music, and read the story, and back came the picture of Stanley that's on the front of the book. And he grew from there. We sent it back to Maynard. He wrote a theme song, the theme song that was playing there at the first of the show today. He wrote that. He wrote a couple of other songs that fit the story. Sent two more songs, so we had six songs. And someone said, you need to narrate it, and I don't like my voice. And so I sent it off to my friend Paul McKenzie in Nottingham, England, who actually lives in what used to be Sherwood Forest. And he has a voiceover studio there. He did a read for us. It was perfectly exactly what we wanted. So we mixed it together with the music, went in the studio with Maynard, and put everything together and produced the audiobook along with the other book. But the publishers didn't want the audiobook, or they didn't like a Brit, or they didn't want the artist, or they didn't want that. You know, there were a myriad of things that went on. And I became so disgusted. I said, you know, I've been perfectly happy for 35 years with Stanley in the drawer. And so we just withdrew. And they even said, well, we'll bid on it after you have it published. Somebody will publish it. I said, you know, I'm going to publish it myself, and I'm not going to sell it to you. So we withdrew my wife's books, withdrew Stanley, and actually went through the process of opening our own publishing company. And so we published it ourselves. We're in dialogue now with four other authors, and depending on how well we do financially here, because we don't want to be a vanity press, and so we're working now toward publishing my wife's four of my wife's books right after the first of the year. We'll start working on them, the release on them, and start working with these other authors, hopefully to have a catalog.
Oh, that would be fabulous. Well, what a story you've shared with us today was about Stanley and how he came about, how he came into life, but more importantly, your own experience with publishers and entering into the world of self-publishing itself. You never dreamed that this is what you would evolve into, I'm sure.
No, I'd retired a few years ago and thought that was it. I was going to help my wife with her projects, and I'm helping her with her projects, but now I'm involved in it a little more than I thought I would be with the Stanley Project.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to people today, some of our listeners who maybe they themselves have some children's stories that they would like to publish, what would you encourage them to be aware of? Because our world today has changed so much in the publishing industry. And you've walked a very unique path in that you had publishers that were clamoring for the book, but interestingly enough, you made all the choices about the music and the artistry, and then they turned you away because of that. That's quite interesting.
Well, I think that if you are writing children's stories, or you're writing anything, you need to keep writing. Put it away for a little while, get it back out and read it, And if you believe, if it makes you laugh, if it makes you cry, if it makes you smile, if you can feel what you wrote is real, and you'll be able to tell many times if what you've written before actually touches you. And once you've written, I think just keep trying. Keep looking. Be cautious, though, because there are those who would charge you a lot of money to publish your books to where you can't make any money if you sell them. If you just want to have a few books put out, check with your local publisher, your local print shop many times.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can, sometimes they will work with you and help you to produce if you want some for friends and family, much less expensively than some of the publishers who want to print 1,000 books for more money than you'll ever recoup.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, too, there are those places that do publish books, and you can publish one, or you can publish 5,000, or 50,000, or 500,000.
Right.
But they'll do it on demand.
Yes, they do it on demand, and it's a little more expensive that way. I know the first run we did on Stanley was 5,000, and the cost was fair because we were able to work with a local print shop here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get the books at about 10% of the cost that was going to do us if we printed like the print on demand a few at a time way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think just the thing I would do would advise would be to consider all the options and decide what you want to do. What is your vision for the book?
Right. Now, you have produced the book, and obviously this is the holiday season. This is the time when you really want people to know about it. What is your website, Richard, that people can go to?
Okay, the website for Stanley is stanleythechristmastree.com, just www.stanleythechristmastree.com. It is also available on amazon.com, and I believe my wife said it is also available on eBay, but the stanleythechristmastree.com site is the main site, and it has a couple of specials on there for the audiobook you can combine and
mm-hmm.
whatever, and get free shipping on there too. And it is available in some bookstores around the country, but we were so late with the release because of the differences with the publishing company and getting ourselves set up that we weren't able to get it into some of the catalogs, because Christmas actually starts in April.
That's the truth, too.
We found out. And another thing, writing a Christmas story and living where I live in the mountains in Colorado is not a good idea. You know, if you live in Florida, that's a good place to write a Christmas story from, because you don't have to travel over 14,000-foot mountains to get out.
To make your deliveries.
Yeah, I just returned from Reno last week, and I just got out of there just ahead of their big snowstorm. Got back in here right after a snowstorm, and now I'm supposed to go back to Denver for another television interview on Thursday, and I just asked a lady if she rented her Jeep.
Yes, because the snows can really get heavy. But Stanley the Christmas Tree is a delightful book, and you have enough time if you wanted to order it before Christmas, and you'd get it in time for that special youngster. So this has been a pleasure, Richard, to be with you. Again, go to his website, stanleythechristmastree.com. Also, it is available on amazon.com. And I want to thank you, Richard, for sharing your wisdom of personal experience with self-publishing. It's absolutely delightful, and I wish you and your family the happiest of holidays and ongoing success with Stanley, the Christmas Tree.
Well, Donna, I thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to all the listeners.
Thank you. Richard Hughes is the author of this book, Stanley the Christmas Tree. Again, his website, stanleythechristmastree.com. Well, our next guest is going to be Carol Ann Johnson. And Carol Ann Johnson is a woman who has just been such a good friend to me, but I was astonished to find out how skilled she was as an artist. This was a few years ago. And to my amazement, I found out that she had been involved with the creation of children's books. And we are going to be having Carol. Carol, are you on the line with me?
I certainly am. Hello, Donna.
Aloha.
Aloha.
This is a lady that has got great knowledge about Hawaii. And what is so much fun is that the next book, children's book, we're going to be talking about is The Magic Shark That Learns to Cook. Now, I have to tell you, I've known Carol Ann for years.
For quite a long while.
Quite a long while. And I had the opportunity to find out about her artistic skills because of an art show that we were involved in together. And
oh, that's right.
Oh, it's so many years ago. But anyway, what I learned later, because I was doing work with my own, with my website and some other things and my children's book that I have, and Carol Ann, I found out, had illustrated children's books, and it all started in Hawaii. Give us a little background on how you got into children's books. I have one, two, three, four of them in front of me.
And there's actually six from that series. And the author, back in 1981, was my middle son's preschool teacher. So you can imagine this is covering a great deal of time.
Oh, yes.
She approached me at the preschool, said, I realize you're an artist here in town. I have written some books, and I wonder if you would illustrate them. Well, my background was as a graphic artist and a printmaker, and I love new challenges. And I said, well, give me one of the stories and let me doodle up a couple pieces. What we discovered is that we were both on exactly the same page. The illustrations that I worked up were quite what she was imagining in her mind. And within a year, together, we established Barnaby Books, a publishing company in Hawaii, and published our first book, The Three Little Hawaiian Pigs and the Magic Shark. This particular one began the series. They are sort of fractured fairy tales set in Hawaii with Hawaiian language and an illustrated glossary and pronunciation guide even to help you with some of the words that appear, Hawaiian words that appear within the English stories.
Mm-hmm.
To say it was a hit is to understate. With some clever public relations and some special promotional times, we sold out a 15,000-book first edition in 8 months.
Oh, my goodness.
And to this day, I have adults approaching me now that say, "Your Auntie Carol," as I was known, "I grew up on your books." So there's a long history, and it's very heartwarming.
It is. But what is so magical, like you say, they're fractured fairy tales. And we've got Kiaka and the Lilikoi vine.
I love how you pronounce it, Donna.
What's that?
I love how you pronounce this.
Was it okay?
Pretty good, pretty good. Kiaka and the Lilikoi vine.
So it's not Lilikoi vine?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh,
yes.
Well. See, I'm not Hawaiian, folks. But anyway, I will get educated real quickly.
Well, anyone that reads the books can have a lot of fun with their children sounding out these Hawaiian words that appear in the midst of a paragraph and then checking in the glossary to find out what they're really talking about.
And that's what makes the books so special. The books are so bright and colorful. And, of course, I love the Hawaiian culture. It's absolutely, absolutely wonderful. But you have Willy Waikula and the Three Mongooses.
Yes, that happens to be Goldilocks.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having teddy bears running around, there's mongooses in Hawaii. So we use those characters, those animals, as substitutions. And we have Snow White, or Haukea, and the Seven Menahuni. And instead of the Seven Dwarfs, we have the characters Menahunis, which are the little people almost like leprechauns in legendary Hawaii.
Well, they're also magical, but I saw you working on your art on The Magic Shark Learns to Cook.
Yes, indeed.
And I just thought this was fabulous. Now, the series is wonderful, but this actually has recipes for little people to be able to work together. But
yes,
the story of this shark, now, the shark had, the magic shark had been introduced earlier, but bringing up this shark who, you know, who would think of a shark being something that you'd want in your kitchen? Thank you very much. But you've got the sharks, you've got the rats. It's got so much personality to it. You've got a Kahlua turkey quesadilla that children can fix. How did these recipes all get together?
Pardon me?
How did you manage, or how did the author manage to choose these recipes? It is so much fun to go through this.
Well, both Donna V. Laird and I are happy to say that we're moms. And basically, these are foods that our children enjoyed when they were much younger. And Donnie has continued in the education field and has had contact with youngsters all through the years. And these are some of the favorites that were cooked and enjoyed at some special events with her kids and her students.
Now, the shark is such an interesting portrayal because very subtle things come across where the shark is discriminated against. That's a big adult word relative to a children's book. But how different people coped with the uniqueness of this magic shark. Now, how's the shark so magical?
Well, the shark in Hawaiian culture is revered. And we sought the guidance of experts in the culture so as not to offend and to magnify some of the more charming aspects of the shark.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly if you take something scary and give it an actual frailty, it becomes a lot more fun for the reader, the author, the illustrator, and the shark has the ability to talk. He has the ability to transform himself into other characters, as he does in the Three Little Hawaiian Pigs. And in this particular case, the shark yet again is tossed away in the dump, rolled up like a beach mat, because he's gotten himself into trouble in a previous book. And he's very hungry. And the narrator, who happens to be Ray the Rat, offers him an opportunity to be released from his bindings, but he has to promise not to eat anyone or to take food from anyone, like as he did from Little Red Riding Hood, who is Ulalii and the Magic Shark. And the shark decides that he has a problem, he's hungry, and he wants a higher solution. And the rat encourages him to learn how to cook. Instead of taking food from people, he should learn how to cook his own food.
Well, I love how the shark greases a pan, but it's with automotive grease.
Yes.
Well, and it says, no, we don't do that.
Butter. Youngsters really may not know some of the intricacies of measuring and ingredients, which the shark keeps calling ingredients. They may not know some of the safety rules, and this is another advantage of this book because it gives the how-to and the safety rules that go along. And we get to watch the shark grow in knowledge, and the conclusion as it comes around is that if you learn something wonderful, the best thing you can do is give it away, is to teach someone else or to share that gift. And frankly, it's one of the reasons that I do these books.
Mm-hmm.
I have been given the gift of being able to draw bright and cheerful things that are recognizable, which is always fun for an artist. And I feel it's very important for me to share what I consider to be a gift, not of my own making, to give this to others. And loving kids as I do and loving to teach as I do, these books are a beautiful venue for an artist like myself.
Well, I agree. And the job, it's so colorful. And children would just absolutely love it. And how much fun can it be as a parent when you read something like this and your children would say to you, can we fix Sharky's Hawaiian French toast?
Yes.
You know, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful way to introduce children into the kitchen, to create for them a love of cooking, and yet do it, as you said, in a way and manner that makes them aware that they don't have to feel badly if they don't understand what measurements are, because they can learn, because Sharky's learning.
Indeed, Mama Mongoose points out to Auntie Giant, who is the teacher, the cook teacher, that when the shark is confused and mispronounces a word or puts on his karate outfit to chop onions, that no, the shark isn't being stupid. He is just a little confused and he has more to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a wonderful message for children, that it's okay not to know something. And if you don't know something, go ask someone that can give you the information and give you the assistance.
Yes, and it's okay to make mistakes.
Oh, for
sure.
Because
Sharky makes all kinds of mistakes, but he learns from his mistakes. And then once he becomes good at doing something, then he's happy to share it with everybody.
Yes, and as the readers of this book will see, there's so much detail in the illustrations that even if a child doesn't quite read yet, there's so much to capture their eye, and they can ask questions about what is that? Oh, those are measuring spoons. What is that? Oh, that's a measuring cup. What is that black stuff in the pan? Oh, the shark made a mistake, which he's going to correct by washing out the pan. He put some engine grease rather than vegetable oil in the pan to grease it for the cake.
Mm-hmm. So there's just so much here. Now, Carol Ann, with these books, have you got a new one on the horizon as well?
Well, I actually do, and I can share the title. I'm hoping for a release. Publication next year. It's called Holiday Magic.
Ah.
Yes, and however appropriate it is, the plot line is along the line of what do you do when you haven't got any money but you want to have a great celebration?
Wonderful thing.
So we're looking forward to that next year. And again, it's set in Hawaii. And frankly, it's awfully wonderful to talk to you today about Hawaii because it's so darn cold here in Washington.
Yes, freezing temperatures. Absolutely true. It's wonderful to talk about Hawaii.
Yes.
Now, Carol Ann, is there a website people can go to find out more about the whole series of books here?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Certainly go to Amazon.com.
Okay.
The books are carried there. Our book distributor is www.besspress.com, BESSPRESS.com.
All right. So we can go to besspress.com. They can go to Amazon.com. Now, if they go to Amazon, do they look it up by title, or is it...
It can be looked up by title or usually under the author's name, which is Laird, L-A-I-R-D, Donna V. Laird.
Donna V., and that's D-O-N-I-V-E-E, Martin Laird. The
yes.
Magic Shark That Learns to Cook is absolutely adorable. All of them are wonderful. They have tremendous stories. And Carol Ann, it's just been a delight having you as a guest today, and you've got to let me know when the next one comes out so we can share it with my audience.
Well, thank you so much.
You
thank
are
you
welcome.
So much, Donna. And if anybody wants to see more of my art, they can go to carolart-studio.com.
carolart-studio.com. And believe me, it's worth visiting her site. Her art is just fabulous. Carol Ann, have a wonderful holiday season, and thanks for being my guest today.
Okay. Season's greetings. Aloha.
Bye for now. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in a moment. When we come back, we've got other goodies to share with you, but don't forget, we have two wonderful, wonderful children's authors, Richard Hughes, Stanley the Christmas Tree, Carol Ann Johnson, the artist for the series by Donna V. Martin Laird, and the last one, the latest one, is The Magic Shark Learns to Cook. Wonderful publications, great for any library for children. This is a good time to get it. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here are the telephone numbers to call into. Toll-free, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, Canadians and U.S., 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, all you need to do when you call in is give me your first name or your initial, and then I'll tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me anything that you like. I'm an information resource, and it's my delight and pleasure to be able to share these skills with you, so give me a buzz, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Hey, you just heard the ad about Teresa Tapp. Well, let me tell you something. We are going to be giving away before the end of 2008, and that's, we don't have much time left, 3 gifts. Each of them will be worth over $100. This Teresa is doing because she wants to celebrate the holidays, and it's a special for the listeners of the show. If you'd like to be a receiver of her DVDs, she's going to have 2. One's on the skin tightening system. The other one is on the 15-minute workout. I can tell you it is worth just being a part of the drawing because this woman has done so much for me as far as helping me tone up 25 inches. Of course, I had to do the work, but still, it is just a wonderful, wonderful system. 15 minutes a day. The skin tightening process that she shares with you is terrific, no matter what your age is. This is what you have to do. If you'd like to be a part of the drawing, we're going to have three gift packages to be able to send out to you. You need to send me an email. Send it to donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. In the subject line, put the Donna Sebo Show and the code DSS30. DSS30. And then I'm going to need your name and your contact information. So if you're a winner, I'll be able to reach you. We're putting your names into our e-pot, and we're going to have the drawing before the end of the year. Fit and fabulous in 2009? Hey, why not? Why not take a chance to in this drawing? Everyone is welcome. If you have a friend that maybe is not able to do it on their own, maybe they don't have a computer, send in something for a friend. The more, the merrier. But anyway, three lucky people are going to have that drawing. So I wanted to be sure to give that information to you, because get that email to me, and we will be talking to Teresa this week, and we'll be talking about the drawing, and then we will decide on a day when we're going to be doing it before the end of the year. So you will have your package and be able to start your fit and fabulous routine right in the very beginning of the new year. Now, I want to talk about animals for a little bit, because if you're like us, we've got two Scottish Terriers, and our youngest Scotty, Victor, his nose is into everything. He has to smell everything. He has to check everything out. Our older Scotty doesn't really care too much. But if you have one of these inquisitive pets, where it's a dog, a cat, it could be a ferret. I don't know what you have as a pet. If you've got a bird, you have to be aware that when you put things out, you have to be conscious of your pet's responses and reactions. The last thing you want to have happen is like what happened with a friend of mine. They had a dog that sniffed out a gift of chocolates underneath the tree, and regrettably, they ended up having to take the dog to a vet because chocolate is deadly if they eat it, and they had to pump the dog's stomach. Unfortunately, it was none the worse for the experience. But animals will do things sometimes that you don't expect. Maybe they normally don't bother anything, but with the holidays, there just seems to be a lot of extra temptation. So be aware, if you have breakable ornaments, put them up on higher branches, out of the reach of curious paws, especially with cats. And don't leave ornament hooks on the floor or on the carpet, and that's so easy to do. If you have children around, maybe they bump into the tree, or even adults can bump into trees and stuff can fall on the floor. Be aware. Your animal paws, and even you, if you're walking around in your bare feet, you can be cut by them. Don't use tinsel. That's a given. We gave up using tinsel on a tree years ago because we have animals. One swallowed strand can be lethal if it gets caught in the animal's intestines. We had to take Kinsey into the vet recently, and he said he really had a critical surgery that had to be taken care of. A dog had swallowed a dishcloth. Can you imagine? Just the thought of getting something like that down one's gullet would be difficult to imagine. This dog had swallowed this dishcloth. So you have to be aware. What happens if they swallow this stuff, it's like a piece of tinsel, it goes through the system and cuts up the interiors of the animal, so be wise. Also, be sure you cover, if you have a live tree, be sure you cover up the water bowl. The sap and water additives that you put in the water can be very toxic to not just animals, but also to children. You know, if you have a little one that crawls under the tree, dips their hands in the stuff, and then puts it in their mouth, and then they may end up getting sick because there's all of this activity that goes on in the water due to the chemicals and, again, the saps. And also, hang your lights out of the reach of cats, dogs, and kids, because it's very easy for them to pull it down. And my dogs have never bothered lights, but, boy, I know people that have cats where they've just had a field day. They just love to go up and climb up into the tree and do all kinds of things. So it's just, you know, being aware of things like this. And I'll tell you, every once in a while, my younger Scotty surprises me with some of the stuff that he really gets into when I wouldn't expect him to. I have a batch of stuffed Scotties, and they are sitting up on an item of furniture. And if ever he gets really irritated with me, he goes and he gets one off of there, shakes it dramatically, and dumps it someplace else in the house. He just does all kinds of little games. So if you have pets, be aware. Don't assume, especially with food. Be very careful leaving food out where they can get to it, and especially anything that has chocolate in it. My one little Scotty, he'll eat just about anything, and you just have to be very, very aware. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I'm always interested in learning about new ways to use things, And if you're like me and live in a part of the country where you're experiencing freezing temperatures, you love to use your fireplace, your inserts, your wood stoves. It's just, it's wonderful. It really keeps the house nice and warm, and it's just beautiful to look at. But you always have, as a leftover effect, ashes. And I just scooped out a whole bunch of ashes out of our fireplace, and I thought, oh, this is so much dust, it's getting all over everything because the ash is so light, and when you're scooping it, it just scoops up, and you don't want to just put anything on it. You have to be thoughtful about doing that. There's vacuum cleaners you can use that can suck it up. But someone had a suggestion that I thought was really a good one. If you're a coffee drinker, this may be very useful to you. You can clean up the fireplace, the ashes in it easily, if you'll sprinkle still damp coffee grounds over the ashes before you scoop them up. It prevents dust from getting on everything. And I thought, that's an interesting approach, so I'm going to have to try it. And this is something else that someone shared with me, and this I know works because someone told me about this a long time ago and I used it. If you have leftover rice, all you have to do is spread it on a cookie sheet and set it in a low-temp oven until it's completely dry. And then you place it in a resealable plastic bag, store it in a freezer. And if you need a cold pack to help any aches or pains, that dehydrated rice does a perfect job. And if you have some leftover material, you can take that rice, put it inside, make a little cushion of your own filled with the rice, and maybe, you know, leave it in a plastic bag if you want it. And then you put it in the microwave and heat it up, and you have got something that's really very soothing for aches and pains. So you can either have it cold or you can have it hot. And also, when it comes to keeping brown sugar nice and soft, keep a strip of orange peel about 3 inches in your box of brown sugar, and the rind will keep the sweet sugar from hardening into a brick. I've also used saltine crackers for the same tip. So I just thought I would share that with you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And I'll be happy to take your call and give you insights. Light up your life with a little bit of it, if you like. Now, smaller is better when it comes to transistors. I thought I had just about seen everything. Of course, we never do. And the human mind is always working towards making things better and better. Well, apparently, in April, a team of European physicists reported that they had recreated the tiniest transistor in history. This is a rough measurement of about 10 atoms by 1 atom. Now, that's so tiny. It's unbelievable, almost. This tiny, tiny device was fashioned from graphene. It is a thin carbon nanomaterial. This is really coming to the forefront. According to Novoselov, it's a University of Manchester physicist, he said, if you hold a sheet of graphene, you won't be able to see it. It has perfect crystallized structure, but it is only 1 atom thick. This is the thinnest possible material in the world. He said the miniature transistor will be well-suited for the demands of the ever-shrinking electronic devices, which require a lot of power that's packed into very, very tiny areas. Now, they've already developed larger graphene transistors that have been shown to perform 10 times as quickly as conventional silicon transistors in the lab. Although, they're not sure how they're going to scale the capability up to mass production. They think they might have a problem with that. Graphene is both transparent and conductive. It also could be used for making liquid crystal displays. They're trying to figure out how they can use it in making solar cells. The silicon age? Well, it may be shifting into an even faster, smaller molecular electronic age. What they're aiming for is the ultimate goal to have one reproducible molecule per transistor. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 877-876-5227 or 888. 815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sivo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sivo. I have some special recipes. If we have time, I'll share them with you, because sometimes during the holidays, we get a little scattered with time. We wonder, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? We've got this to bake. We've got that to prepare. We're going to this party, and we want to have something special to take. Or, oh, my goodness, I've got so much I've got to do. I've got all these people coming over for this dinner, that dinner, this event, whatever. Let me share with you. I've got a wonderful, wonderful bread wreath that you could make, and it's so easy. Also, I've got something with chocolate peanut butter bonbons. So, but before I get into that, I came across this wonderful, wonderful story about a very, very special dog named Cinnamon. And it's also about a soldier. Now, this puppy, Cinnamon, just showed up in the middle of a war camp. And a Navy officer by the name of Mark, he was deployed to Kandahar, Afghanistan. And the last thing he ever expected to see there was this ball of orange fur. And he said it's against military regulations to adopt any strays, but he just fell in love with this little puppy. Well, the whole unit got involved. And we're going to go to this caller, and I'll come back and tell you the rest of the story. Oh, it's just so heartwarming. This is Donna Sivo. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. This is Ann from Detroit. How are you?
Hi, Ann. I'm doing fabulously. How's it in Detroit? We're freezing here in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, we're freezing here as well, and it's getting a little nasty. I think a storm is brewing out there.
Boy, we have really been hit with a cold front. It seems like it's gone all the way across the United States.
Yeah, it's making its rounds, that's for sure.
Well, we have to count our blessings when we get them, but boy, it's long johns here. I know it's long johns where you are, too.
I'm turning up the thermostat a little too high.
Oh, it's really something. Can you imagine how the early pioneers handled that weather?
You know what, I simply can't. It's just unimaginable to me.
Boy, I'll tell you. I just have such a respect for those people, because I don't know. I think I would have said, I'll wait for a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
Go live in that.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get down to business with you, Anne. There is a lot going on in your environment, and I'm not just talking about holidays. I think you have been working very, very hard this year at getting things into place, getting things done, and really cleaning and clearing out clutter in your life. And you've really done quite a good job with this. I am seeing you, though, rolling up your shirt sleeves and saying, I'm really ready to go to work right now on what means the most to me. Now, there are levels that I'm looking at. One, I'm looking at a very personal, intimate level with yourself, where you're saying, I want to do things for me so that I'm going to be better prepared for some of the changes I'm wanting to implement in my life. So it's investment in you. And I think that's a wonderful theme for 2009. And it's not being narcissistic. It is being aware that you want to take care of you and you want to make sure that things are done correctly. Then the next thing I'm looking at is that you're concerned about finances and financial planning. And I'd say don't be. Just tuck your money aside, keep saving it, and work through some of the learning curve that you want to grow into a level of understanding about. You want, there are areas of investment that you really need to be better educated on so that you can utilize your money effectively and well. Then I'm also looking at something regarding a career that for you is going to be very meaningful. It has humanitarian overtones to it, but it's going to require your being involved in an ongoing level of education, which I think is very, very significant for you. So I really think that you are in an evolutionary process and you're conscious about everything that you're doing. And this is making your life more interesting on certain levels. And sometimes you wonder if you're biting off more than you can chew. And the answer is no, you're not. You are having to learn how to process what needs to be done differently. And you're learning what you're going to have to leave behind so that you can move forward. I think you're to be complimented. I really do, Anne. I think you are paying attention to what needs to be paid attention to. And that's quite an accomplishment. And this is going to be a very good year for you, 2009.
You think, really?
What would you like to ask me today?
Well, I'm speechless because it's not that you've answered my question, but everything that you've touched on has been on the floor. As a matter of fact, I'm in my office right now cleaning up the clutter as I was listening to your show. I mean, this is I've been dreading this for a year, and I just decided to dive in the last couple of days and do it before year's end here. So you were point on. I'm having a lot of anxiety, probably more than maybe I should have, just over all the global issues and how it does affect me personally. And I really never thought of myself as being narcissistic, although I'm definitely trying to take care of number one for sure. And I feel as though I got a blindfold on and I'm just groping in the dark here. And your words of encouragement are helping me just listening to this as well. But I'm still finding on a personal level, I mean, it's affecting me physically. Just I'm having a lot of anxiety, and it's I just don't know whether or not there's something physically going on with me that I need to worry about. I mean, I've been having heart palpitations, and I know it's, at least I believe it's a stress-related issue, and it's not over anything specific. It's just the general environment.
All right, let me just make a couple of suggestions to you. Oh, my goodness, we're almost out of time. I'm not going to be able to share very much with you at this moment, and maybe you could call me back tomorrow and we could continue this. But what I would say is, because we're almost out of time, understand that you cannot change the world until you're at peace with yourself. And there's always going to be stressful things in the world going on. There are always going to be ugly things going on. But if you start with you, and if you're good to yourself, and then you do what you know you should do for your environment that's going to create a healthy balance that is going to have a ripple effect of, with everyone that's around you.
Okay.
So start with you, and there are some other things I would share, but I'm out of time, hon. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I just appreciate being able to speak with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you so much, Donna, and the same to you.
Thank you, Ann. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're out of time. I'm so grateful to the many guests that we've had through all of this season. It's just been wonderful, but no, we've got a great lineup yet before the end of the year, and just so much to look forward to. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. No matter where you are, you make a difference by being the best you possibly can be. Join us tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. We're going to get you fit and fabulous. Ah, yes, you're going to do it. Yes, you are, right here with Teresa Tapp. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.